Welcome to the Smuggler's Den.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Brought to you by Game Empire Pasadena, a great friendly atmosphere for playing a wide variety of games and for purchasing all of your gaming needs. Check them out online at GameEmpirePasadena.com.
Welcome to Episode 9, Season 2 of The Smuggler's Den. I'm your host, Ben Tully. You can find me on the boards as Scarlet Knight. With me today, we have our almost new and permanent co-host,
Neil.
How you doing, Neil?
I'm doing good. If anyone happens to notice any drilling or pounding in the background.
Wow, Neil, let's not get into your personal life. Ba-dum-bum!
It's the landlord doing work on my apartment building. So I apologize on his behalf. I know that he would want to personally apologize to all of our listeners if he even know that this existed.
Yeah, I think you should go out there and you should yell at him. Start just randomly yelling at him. Be like, do you know that I'm trying to record a mildly successful Star Wars LCG podcast in my living room right now and you're ruining it?
I think he would respond really well to that.
Probably, especially if you start with the yelling.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, man.
So we're back with another episode, and today our episode is going to be focused more on looking ahead at some of the spoilers for this next pack.
I know. And so we've had the spoilers for right before, we got them essentially the day before we recorded our last podcast. So that's about 2 weeks ago. And I think at the time we were like, well, we already have this episode planned. We're going to have Tyler on. We're going to be talking about the regionals. We probably got like 2 months before FFG actually releases this pack. And no, that's wrong. So we'll be spoiling these, you know, after the podcast goes live over the weekend. And you'll have about 3 days before you can buy the pack.
Yeah, so get lots of testing in with the juicy spoilers we're going to let you know right before the pack comes out.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said about getting it right before the pack comes out, you know?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to have this like 3 weeks beforehand and like, oh my God, I just can't wait to play this. I'm going to go to this regional and I would be so much better off if I had these cards that have been spoiled for me already.
Yeah, that's true. And
it's not true. It's just a complete... just trying to make up stuff to make people feel better about this.
Well, yeah, I don't know. For me, I guess it's a little just self-centered, but our regionals are done, so spoilers are not nearly as important to us anymore.
What do I care, right?
Yeah.
What, there's this thing called Gen Con that's already sold out? No thanks.
Well, I am going to Gen Con, going to Nationals, so I guess I should be considering how this might add to my deck for that, but I don't know. Right now, it still feels like it's a ways away.
It does seem like it's a ways away.
And there'll be one more pack after it. So the spoilers for the next pack, I think I'll be pretty excited for, but this one, I'll get it in time.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I was like, we were talking about it the other day, we think that the last force pack for the cycle probably won't be legal for Gen Con.
Yeah.
But that there'll be one more after this.
Yeah, I think the fifth pack will definitely be out and legal. I would be very surprised if the final pack of the cycle is out and legal there.
All right. So, Neil, do you want to spoil some new cards?
Let's do it.
So, like we said in the last episode, this is a scum objective.
Whoa, what? We didn't actually say that in the last episode.
Didn't we?
No, we just gave them the hint.
No. All right. Well, if anybody thought that Witten, and if you've now done your homework, who is a Jawa clan leader, if anybody thought that that particular character was going to be a Navy and or Sith-affiliated card.
Or neutral.
I mean, it could be neutral, I suppose. But we haven't seen a lot of neutral objective sets this cycle, have we?
Now that you mention it, we haven't seen any.
Zero.
It's kind of odd.
I wonder if that's a conscious decision by FFG.
I would hope that it would have to be, that they wouldn't just kind of
forget
well, yeah, and like splash punch. Colors on all of the cards that they make.
Right. Anyway, so it is a scum pod. It is pod number 116. It is titled The Scavengers.
Bum, bum, bum.
Right. So the objective for this set, The Scavengers, is a 1 resource, 5 health capacity objective. Like we said, it's scum. It's Tatooine trait, and it has the reaction. You ready for this, Neil?
I don't know.
Reaction: after this objective enters play, destroy all units in play.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, indeed. So this is the dark side equivalent, kind of, to the false report as an objective. However, the light side actually does have to blow up objectives to win the game.
Yeah, it is very different that the light side has to blow up the objective. So in some ways, the mind games that you can play with the false report and stacking your deck and being like, oh, you shouldn't come blow up my objectives because I'll just bounce all your units, it doesn't really work the same mind game wise with this dark side objective, because the light side basically has to attack your objectives and just cross their fingers and hope that it isn't on top.
Well, I mean, it's the same way. So it's like a number of things, right? So you can do slicing in.
Yeah, if you want to do that as your restricted set.
Yeah, for sure. You could, but in the same way that you can use the false report on the light side to try and stack your objective set to make sure that that's revealed when an opponent blows up an objective, you can actually now use it to go into your opponent's objective sets and try and keep this from happening. But that, you're right, is not guaranteed. It definitely puts more of an impetus on to something like having damage on all 3 objectives. But I know, especially because some of the decks that are, you know, something along the lines of a heavy vehicle deck, right, tends to enjoy or excel at blowing up 1 objective a turn.
Yeah.
Not putting on lots of little damage all around to allow for a final turn, right, which was tended to be a way that could be played early in the life cycle of the game. But now it's more of a, like, okay, well, I put down these units. There's enough to blow up an objective. I'll do that. They all die. Cool. So I'll put down these units, and there's enough to blow up an objective. And I do that, and they all die. But, like, you know, now you're just inviting anything that stays on the board has a chance of being wiped off.
Yeah, it's very interesting in that aspect. You're right, that now tiebreakers seem to matter so much that people are going for those guaranteed blowing up objectives when they can, rather than building up for the win with the spread out damage. But it's also interesting with this because I feel like generally the dark side is trying to build up its forces more.
Sure.
And so potentially I could see this certainly hurting the dark side more in certain situations than even the false report ever would with a light side deck that was set up.
Sure, you know, I definitely feel you on that one. The whole idea being, you know, if you're splashing this in there, or if it's in a full scum pod and you have something like, I have my Slave One and Jabba the Hutt and all of these other cards out, and I pull this up and you only have a couple vehicles, you're not triggering that reaction. Right?
Right.
You'll trigger the reaction if they have, you know, Luke with Trust Me and Yoda with a couple lightsabers on him, but, you know, it's definitely, and, you know, it's the good thing is it's a reaction, so you can trigger it when you want.
Mm-hmm. That is good. You always kind of forget that, but it's good to be reminded.
I imagine this pod would be much less playable if it was a forced reaction.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, that. I mean, essentially you're just completely relying on the random luck there at that point. So, we spoiled who it was. We have Witten. He is a Jawa. Neil, do you want us to tell us about his stats and how awesome he looks?
Sure. Witten is a unique scum character unit. He is 3 cost, 3 health, 2 force icons. He has 1 resource, which is kind of interesting. His combat icons are 1 unit damage, 1 objective damage, both black, non-edge-enabled, and then one edge-enabled tactics. He's a character scavenger, and then his text reads, "While this unit is committed to the Force, it cannot be damaged or destroyed." But he also has a forced reaction. After you lose a Force struggle, remove this unit from the Force, if able.
This is a very interesting card.
Yeah. In the one game that I played with this set to try and prepare some stories and anecdotes for this episode, I played Witten first turn, and he stuck on the board the entire game.
Sure. Did you have a... So I'm assuming you committed him to the Force.
Nope.
You didn't.
No, it was a bit of a weird game, and after we talk about the rest of the set, I'll talk about my reasoning behind, like, the rest of the deck it was with, but
sure.
I was never even going to win the Force. So if I committed him, he would have just immediately gone off the Force with the Force reaction. But what I think is cool is that the 3 cost, 3 health with one of every icon is just great on its own.
Sure.
I think that his abilities are just icing on the cake if you can get him to stick, but I see him as a solid unit regardless of that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a difficult ability to balance, though, for sure, right? Because once you commit him to the Force, he's going to be taking 2 focus tokens every time he attacks or defends.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have elite, and he's not a mercenary or a bounty hunter. So there's fairly limited ways of removing the additional focus placed on him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the only one I can really think of that's in Scum, correct me if I'm wrong, is like Jabba's Sail Barge.
Yeah, or if you were going to I don't know how that would work with Spice Visions, because he cannot be damaged.
And you have to put the damage on there to trigger that?
Yeah, so I guess not. I'd have to look at it again.
Yeah, Spice Visions depends on the wording. So Spice Visions wording is, when a focus token is placed on a character or creature unit you control, damage that unit instead.
And because you can't fulfill the effect,
right,
then you can't even begin the effect.
Sure.
We should probably email FFG just to be safe, but that's how I would rule it if I was a judge of anything.
If I was a judge of anything, right? Right? Isn't that that famous song?
Yeah.
All right, so that's Witten. So that's really interesting. Do you have anything else to say about this card? I'm like, all right, we got to get through all of these cards now so Neil can tell his awesome story about
It's not that great of a story.
It's
but...
so awesome. It's going to be so amazing.
Okay. Well, then why don't you take us through this next card?
Sure. And by next card, you mean next 2 cards.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Here it is, everybody. This is the major spoiler of the set. You're going to be so excited by this card right here. Aren't they, Neil? Aren't they? Isn't it going to be awesome?
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So the next 2 cards, so cards 3 and 4 of this objective set, is a unit, neutral unit, called Jabba Scrap Dealers. This is a 2-cost, 1 health capacity, 1 force icon unit. It does have the unit icons 1 black blaster and 1 edge-enabled blast damage. It is a character scavenger unit, and it has the reaction, after a friendly unit is destroyed, put this unit into play from your hand.
That is a great reaction.
Yeah. Even for a 1 health capacity unit?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, usually you get nothing from your units being destroyed.
Now you get a whole nother unit. Scale of better than nothing, it's better. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's part of it, but I mean, it's already impressive, some of the tricks that the light side can pull with putting in new units that you didn't expect, whether it's from the Falcon, kind of looping someone with Heroes and Legends, even one of my favorite, Return of the Jedi, bringing someone back from your discard. So I think that being able to jump in these Jawa scrap dealers from your hand when something's destroyed and your opponent thinks that your board is wiped or that you have no one left to attack with, it can really make a difference.
Sure. I mean, surprise units are always going to make a difference. I just wonder how often you're going to be in a situation where one of your units is destroyed and then have this still in your hand. You know, I always feel like anytime I'm trying to keep a unit from being destroyed, it's normally in the form of, like, ditching everything into an edge battle.
Yeah, but I think that it gives you a little more room to not care about edge battles. So if you're already playing a deck that kind of accepts that it might be losing some edge battles, then this just gets even better.
Sure, because you're going to lose units anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well replace them.
So one thing I also want to point out about this card, and since you all probably can't see the picture right now, this art choice is unfortunate, I think, because it is a, like, hover skiff-looking vehicle driving over the sand dunes.
Right.
With Jawas on it. There are definitely Jawas on this.
With definitely scrap on the skiff.
But it's one of those cards that looks like it should be a vehicle, but its trait says character.
Sure, I can see that.
So I think that in the first week or so of this being out, people might try and have some...
You're going to try and convince, you know, you're going to play it and not remind your opponent that it's not a vehicle?
I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying that even me sitting across the table from it, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people try and, especially in the early days, people try and mind trick the interrogation droid.
Oh, right.
It says droid in the title. Yep. It's a droid. There's a droid pretty prominently on it, but because the art also has a, like, Imperial officer behind the droid, people always thought that it was a character.
Sure, yeah.
This art, I think, is even worse, and it doesn't say character in the title the way that the droid says droid in it.
Right.
So I can see people missing opportunities or forgetting to maybe double focus it with a Across the Junland Wastes in play.
You think people are going to try and target it with their ion cannon burst?
Maybe.
Just can't defend. No, it can. It's a character. Damn it. All right. So let's move on to the next card.
The next card is a scum event called Watchful Eyes. It's 0 cost, 1 force icon. It says action. Look at the top 2 cards of an objective deck. You may move one of those cards to the bottom of its deck. Return the other card to the top of the deck in any order. So this is essentially, word for word, the dark side version of Slicing In.
Yep. It certainly is. So now if both sides are running Slicing In and Watchful Eyes, it's a constant game of guess which is on top. I know which one's on top, but now you don't. Now you don't know which one's on top, but now I know which one's on top, but now you don't know which one's on top. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. It's a pretty simple card. I feel like people have been playing with Slicing In a lot already. I don't know if we have to go into the usefulness of this or not.
No, and I don't think that the usefulness changes hugely, it being on the dark side versus the light side.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There aren't that many other... There's almost no other dark side objectives, right, that have a benefit for coming into play.
There are some, but most of them aren't very heavily played, like Cruel Interrogations.
Sure, yep, okay, I can
and,
see that.
And Take Them Prisoner.
Yep.
And those are the only really come into play ones I can think of, but maybe there are going to be more in this set and the coming ones.
Sure, and I mean, those aren't terrible ones to synergize with this, right? It's scum.
Yeah.
You know, those are capture objectives. If you want to trigger them, you need to be able to get them to come off the top of your deck, objective deck. So it's not terrible.
No.
So the last card in this objective set is not a new card. It is a fate card. It is Seeds of Decay, which we all know, but I'll read it to you anyway. It is two edge icons, and it has a text. You may place one focus token in a target ready unit that is committed to the force.
Yeah, it's a solid fate card. Not as good for the dark side, I feel like. I wish it was Echoes of the Force so that you could commit and uncommit Witten kind of more at will.
Yep, that would be a good one too. I also think that that particular fate card is a much more kind of pro play card.
Yeah.
Where this one is like, cool, do you have anybody who's committed to the force and ready? All right, so that guy gets a tactics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little more point and shoot.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of this set as a whole, Ben?
So, I'm not overly impressed with this set. I could see it, potentially, and I think this is one of the ones where I'm probably excited about it to some degree, is running it as like a scavenger theme deck.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
The problem being, so like the main goal there would be to get out like a Bantha, right? Which is problematic because there's only one Bantha in the entire deck.
Two. But then, if you're running two of Across the Jundland Wastes.
Oh, for some reason I thought that was limit one.
Nope.
All right. Well then, never mind me. Okay, so if you have two Banthas in there and you have all of those Tusken Raiders and you have your zero cost Jawas, you have your Jawa Scrap Dealers, the goal to be to get out some combination of lots of enhancements and then getting them back every time you play a scavenger with the Bantha. You know, I still have very fond memories of the one game that I was able to get out of Bantha and I was looping Tusken Raiders to keep pulling back the Gaffy stick.
Yep.
Which has three force icons and using that in an edge battle and then playing another Tusken Raider and getting it back for another edge battle.
Yeah, and with so many scavengers, the Gaffy stick can even become kind of ridiculous on a unit because you'll get edge like four or five.
Right, because it's with every other attacking unit.
Not attacking, just in the engagement.
In the engagement, okay, yeah.
So that would be cool.
So it would be cool, except that the problem with that is if you're running, for example, two of those objectives, right? Essentially, you have six objectives, and off the top of my head, I feel like you only have two enhancements. Just a Gaffy stick, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what your other four objectives would be. I mean, maybe you could throw in like the Ghosts of the Dark Side that have the Dark Memories enhancements. Try and loop those, but then you're depending on your opponent to run characters. You could try and run bounties.
Sure.
To capture things, but I feel like that deck doesn't have huge edge unless you get the Gaffy stick going.
Right. So, maybe not the greatest deck.
But fun.
But fun, sure, if you can get it going. I agree with that.
So here's the sort of deck that I think that this set fits in. And what I tried it with is I think that this is a great, really cool set for a rush deck or a big navy deck.
Okay.
So I tried it in a navy rush deck. For one thing, you can still run Navy Affiliation. The only card that requires a scum match is Witten. And while he's awesome, I think it's okay to give up that, you know, one card if it makes the rest of your resources run more smoothly. I think that the Scrap Dealers are great in that sort of deck, especially a rush deck, where you don't care if your little TIE Fighter dies on your first of three attacks this round. Because when it dies, you jump in a Scrap Dealer, you have an extra objective damage.
Sure.
And generally, Navy decks that are very aggressive are going to allow the light side to attack more and destroy objectives. So the Scavengers can be a nice, maybe not a deterrent, but an extra way to maybe get some silver lining from them destroying your objectives. If you can then pop that into play, wipe out their Luke or their Rogue 3 or whatever they have set up, and you just swarm out more guys.
Hmm. And how did it work? Did you get a chance to play it?
I did get a chance to play it. It didn't work great. I think that the version I was running is very dependent on Kuat reinforcements.
Sure.
And so I drew a bunch of my three cost units, like Backstabber, like the Thai Attack Squadron, and Witten, in my mulliganed opening hand. And so I could really only play one, maybe two units a turn when that sort of deck wants to play three or four.
Right.
And so I did end up destroying, I think, two objectives and almost got a third. It was against a Hoth deck as well that was able to remove some with Battle of Hoth and had Riken out to shield some objectives. So it was a bit of an uphill battle, and I definitely lost. It was also disappointing that I drew both of the Scavengers on my opening objective flop, so there was never going to be a chance that I would see them.
Oh, so that seems like a really worst case scenario.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, and unfortunately I didn't have time to test the deck again, but I did jump in a Jawa Scrap Dealer at one point, and Witten was actually really good just sitting on the board doing his thing.
Yeah, doing that tactics damage
thing. Yeah, doing the tactics, doing the additional objective damage, and just having three health.
So you know, Neil.
What do I know?
You know what I was pretty disappointed in? Is that we got this objective set, and then the guys over at the Force.net got the winter objective set.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because you know why?
Why is that?
Because that objective set is crazy.
It's really cool.
Yeah. So I think maybe we could take a minute to pretend. Let's take a minute, like pretend everybody hasn't seen it. There's not a lot of analysis on the Force.net spoiler of it, which is okay by me. Let's just pretend for a second that instead of the Scavengers, we were able to spoil Behind Enemy Lines.
A dream come true.
A dream come true. Go ahead. Would you like to kick us off with this objective?
Sure.
Talk about it maybe a little bit more quickly, because people have at least been able to see these cards for about a week now.
So the objective itself is Behind Enemy Lines, Rebel objective, 5 health, 1 resource, and it has a cool reaction that's not after this objective enters play, but after an objective enters play. You get to look at the top card of an opponent's objective or command deck, and then either keep it there or move it to the bottom. It's a pretty nice objective, especially on an opening, because at least something will get destroyed every game.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, that in general, this objective is pretty strong in its ability to kind of keep checking on your opponent and what they have. It's actually really great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. And the flexibility of being either the top of their draw deck or the objective deck is pretty nice. I feel like generally you would want to go for an objective deck, because that's kind of more important, I would think.
I mean, but the randomness of looking at the top of a command deck, right? You look at the top of a command deck, it's Palpatine. Guess who's going on the bottom of the deck?
That's very true. The putting on the bottom of the deck part is a huge thing to consider.
Right. And even if it's, right, you know, you look at the top card, it's a Sith library, you're like, cool, you can have that.
Yeah.
Right? Keep an eye on how many cards you draw. You know exactly one of them is the Sith library.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's early enough in the game, they don't get that Sith library. They don't get their resources going, or hopefully not.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of advantages to it. I mean, sure, it's limited, but it will depend on how many objectives are destroyed.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about the next card in the set?
Right, and I think this is particularly the card that you're excited about.
Is it?
Really? It's not?
No.
Oh. I'm so wrong, everybody. Well, the next card is the unique main card of this objective set. It's Winter. I'm sure everybody knows who Winter is from the Star Wars universe, right, Neil?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I totally know who she is. I did not know she was a spy for the Rebels. I did know she was the babysitter of Han and Leia's kids when they were young.
That's a fun fact.
It's a crazy, so silly fact. Anyway, She's 3 cost, 2 health capacity, 2 force icons. She's got 3 unit icons. 2 of them are black. Those are a blaster and a tactics. And then she has an edge-enabled objective damage. She's a character spy and has a reaction. After you win a force struggle, return a target enemy enhancement to the top of its owner's deck.
That's a pretty cool ability. I also like that looking at her right after Witten, they both start with W. They both are 3 cost, 2 force icons, 2 health, and have combat icons.
He has 3 health, Neil.
Oh, you're right.
They're not entirely reciprocal.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
I guess that fan fiction will have to wait.
Oh, boy. Look at you go. Oh, man. I don't know. Her ability, I feel like, is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you run into this issue of how often are you winning the force with an objective set like this particular one, which just has 2 characters and one is a 2 icon and one's a 1 icon in a rebel deck.
Yeah. I think that it would definitely work better if you're splashing with something like maybe across the Gamor run.
Sure.
Or along the Gamor run.
Right. Everybody's light side, all light side players' new favorite, I'm going to win the force card.
Oh, yeah. So with that, I could see this reaction being a complete headache.
Sure, especially because the non-character cards in this objective set have 2 force icons and then 3 force icons.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely a headache. It'll be interesting if there's, I haven't really put a lot of thought into it, but it would be interesting if there's like along the Gamor run deck, right? Which, you know, probably relies pretty heavily on that particular objective, but where you know, essentially running a complete like random mix of cards, you know, maybe from the rebels and from the smugglers, where people are like, I have no idea what's in that deck. It's like, what, you're running Winter and along the Gamor run and like, you know, this other random objective that has a, like, you're like, yeah, now I'm gonna win.
Yeah, I think supposed to be the big advantage of LCGs, and what often is really cool is that you get these new sets that come out and are just enough to be like, oh, now I can play these other sets that no one used to play.
Right. Like Vast Resources?
Like Vast Resources.
All right. So, okay. So if that's not the card you're excited about, are you excited about this next card?
It's good, but it's the Tactical Genius, 2 cost, 2 health, 1 force icon, has a black tactics, always nice, and a edge-enabled unit damage. It's a character reaction after this unit enters play, remove 1 focus token from a target unit committed to the force. It's a pretty good reaction, and I like that it's enters play rather than being played, so if he's jumping in through some other means, you can also kind of loop it.
Yep.
Makes sense. It works. Not my favorite, but a solid card.
I mean, so that's 2 cards now coming in through this Rebel set for the light side that have black tactics icons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm not 100% sure yet what that means or how best to kind of work with that in building a deck, but it definitely gives some more options.
Yeah. And so this, I thought this was an interesting card, right? Because this is essentially like a Cloud City operative.
Yeah.
And so they've switched it out. So they've made the reaction a slightly weaker, right? It doesn't target anybody, doesn't place it on your opponent's card, right? You have to be committed and has to have a focus token to remove it for it to be useful. But then they switched the icons.
Yeah.
So instead of being an edge-enabled tactics that you have on the Cloud City operative, you have a, you know, a black tactics.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that's a, you know, if that's like a insight into the game developer's mind about how strong a black tactics is.
Maybe. I feel like not.
It's exactly equivalent to half an awesome ability.
Yeah.
So, all right. So not that card.
Nope.
That's not the one you're excited about. So let me try this next one. So this is Observation Point, which is a Rebel enhancement, costs 1, 2 force icons. It's a location, enhance your play area, action. Focus this enhancement to look at the top card of each player's deck. Then you may discard one of those cards.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It doesn't seem like the one that you would want that you're excited about,
though. It is not.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, this is interesting. This is more looking at your opponent's deck, right? Doesn't cost you that much, right? There are plenty of times when you might have one floating resource left over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good edge card. It's like one of those decision things. I was like, all right, I have five cards in my hand. I can't really play too much else. I have an open resource. I'll play this.
Yeah.
I have two cards in my hand. I have an open resource, but I really want those two icons in the edge battle.
It's good and it's flexible. And flexible is really a big part of it because you get to look at both players' decks. And then you get to choose which one you want to discard or don't have to discard either of them.
Yep. I mean, discarding is pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
You can look at the, an objective is destroyed. You look at the top of the card of their deck, their command deck. It's a Palpatine. You're like, well, that's not even going on the bottom. I'm just getting rid of that. So I guess putting it on the bottom is a de facto removal.
Yeah, it is, unless there aren't that many search and then shuffle card effects. So
right.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty much removed.
So this really just makes it obvious to me now, Neil, because we know that the last card is a hidden outpost. And as much as you love resources,
yeah,
I don't think that you're excited about this objective set because of that resource.
No, the big card in this set to me that I'm so excited for is Infiltration. It's a one cost rebel event, 3 force icons. Says, action, during an engagement, put a character unit into play from your hand as a participating unit on your side. If that unit is still in play at the end of the phase, return it to your hand. I am so looking forward to infiltrating Akbar, infiltrating extra things into battles just to change the tide of battle. For one cost, it really changes how the dark side will have to think about and play around Rebel Tricks decks, which are probably my favorite sort of decks to play. So for me, this card is huge. It really lets you control when to risk your usually fragile Rebel character units like Akbar and Leia and Janors, when to risk them where it will be most beneficial to you.
Sure. I had not put that much thought into this card. I was like, oh yeah, it puts a character in play. Okay. You're absolutely right. It's pretty bonkers, especially because you put them back into your hand.
Yeah, if they survive.
If they survive. But I mean, like, you know, one of the things with Akbar is that you have to leave open 3 resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, ha, that doesn't matter. Right? Like, 3 resources, as it's, ugh. I'll know when Akbar's coming.
Yeah.
Now it's not the case. I mean, the only downside to this card, is when you go into that edge battle, right? If it happens to be one edge battle for that whole turn, right? Not that it always is. That's 2 of your cards locked up, right?
Yeah, that's very true. And so you definitely have to plan for it. And
right.
Plans will go awry, but I think the potential for it is huge.
Sure. No, I mean, it's definitely good in terms of, right, that one, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with this, right? So you can go with the big units like you listed, like you can pop in a Leia or a Janors or an Akbar, or, you know, on the other side of it, you can pop in things like Luke and Yoda and Obi-Wan. And then on the other side of it, so this is the third side of the coin, back on the original part of the coin, right?
Yeah.
What really is interesting is that we now have these units that have these black tactics icons, right?
Sure.
So you can be like, I attack with this weenie. And they go, okay, whatever. And you put your unit in that just has a black tactics icon. And now all of a sudden that might have been an engagement that they wanted to participate in.
Yeah. Or they defend with someone with tactics. They tactics down your Yoda.
Yep.
Then you infiltration in the
tactical genius,
clear them off and tactics them down.
Yep.
And you were listing other big units, and I think that it's even awesome to put in like a dash, jump him into battle, or jump in a, I think I saw someone talk about jumping in Chewie if you have Wookiee life debt. and then all of a sudden they really don't want to do any damage to you, but it's too late. They're already committed to the battle.
Yeah, there is definitely some heavy tricks in that deck using this objective set.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be playing this objective set very heavily for quite a while.
Until your eyes bleed and your hands fall off.
Yeah, about that time.
So that's going to be it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the new objective set that we were able to spoil, that you were as thrilled with it as we were.
Yeah.
Yeah? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I hope that, as always, whenever we get on the podcast and we're like, well, we're not that excited about this objective set, somebody comes along and proves us wrong.
Please do. Scum needs the love.
Scum always needs the love, right? I just come along and be like, nope, that's wrong. This is the deck. It's awesome. You can, like, drop it. You drop the mic. You're like, boom, whatever. That'd be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So we're recording this on a Friday morning. Neil is going to do what he can to get this edited sometime today, and we'll get it up over the weekend. So the idea will be is that if we get this up over the weekend, that the podcast will be live for a couple days, and then we will spoil all the cards on our Facebook page on Monday. This is going to anger everybody, but that's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, listen to the podcast if you want it a few days earlier. On Monday, though, the images will be up everywhere, and you'll be able to find it.
And you'll be able to enjoy it. But that's it for this episode. We will definitely have more for next episode.
And until next time,
may the force be with you.